There's a sense in which our church council chairman, Neil Creighton, and I are doing the team approach to preaching this morning under the title, What Gives? Why So Much Evil and Suffering? In just a bit, Neil will focus our attention on the suffering piece, but for the next few minutes, I'd like to share a couple of words in address of the issue of evil and what it does say and what it doesn't say about God. I'd like to direct your attention for our scripture reading this morning to the book of Revelation chapter 19. So I'd like to ask you to turn there with me. The book of Revelation chapter 19. If you're using our pew Bibles, and I hope that you will, you'll find our passage in Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 11, on page 1205. That's 1205. First, we need to know that evil and the suffering that results from it had a beginning. And what that really means is that evil is not eternal, nor is it infinite. Evil began when one of God's creatures, namely his most beautiful creatures, according to Scripture, the archangel Lucifer, decided that he would supplant Almighty God by taking God's place. Satan also convinced up to a third of God's servants, God's messengers, formerly the holy angels, to join him in disastrous rebellion against God, and thus they lost their place among the heavenly host. So Lucifer, whose name means son of the dawn, became Satan, the evil one. And those fallen angels became his demons. But Satan was not satisfied with the corruption of God's purpose in himself, nor corrupting a third of God's holy angels and turning them into his demons, who now serve him and not God. But since then, Satan has also made it his purpose, his demons helping him, to corrupt all of God's creation, beginning with human beings. And he is the source of all evil and suffering in the world. Now, saying that Satan is the source of all evil and suffering in the world is somewhat of a controversial statement. Some think that it takes away from God's sovereignty and rule. And while I don't have enough time to work through all of the implications this morning, I truly don't believe that it takes away from God at all. This is a bit simplistic, but suffice it to say, no Satan, no temptation to sin, no death, and no suffering. Certainly God created Satan, and that provides a problem for us, but for sure, God used the suffering of Jesus to redeem us, and he also uses suffering to mold us into Jesus' image. But God is not the author of either evil or suffering. And note this well. In the end, even Satan, his demons, and all of their evil throughout all of the ages will in fact submit to the one true and living God. And somehow, all suffering will glorify God. So evil is neither eternal, nor is it infinite. Only God is eternal and infinite. But over the years, especially the last 100 years, many have suggested that the undeniable and pervasive presence of evil and suffering in our world is objective evidence against God's existence. Or at the very least, against God's usefulness and power to do anything about it. Others have concluded that God probably exists, but with all of the evil and suffering, whether perpetrated on them or on loved ones or in history, they don't believe that God cares. So what good is he? If there ever was a time in the recent history of the world that it seemed surely evil would overcome and overwhelm and overrun all that was and is good in the world, and God was absent, that time would have been during the first half of the 20th century, around two world wars. There have been other times, of course, but both before and after that time, the Crusades about 1,000 years ago, the Inquisitions a couple hundred years later in the name of God, slavery followed by civil war in America in the 19th century, all of these were horrendous examples of evil and degradation. Then in the later 20th century, the killing fields of Cambodia, the genocides of Rwanda and Srebrenica, and the terroristic reign of the Taliban in Afghanistan come quickly to mind. But these historical events pale in all manner of comparison, in destruction and in loss of life, to what happened and the evil perpetrated during the first half of the 20th century in Russia and the Ukraine, all across Europe, in North Africa and in Asia, as well as in the Pacific. One of the most astonishing discoveries in the days following the defeat of the Third Reich was that Hitler had very detailed plans for the further invasion of North America, including new Nazi names for our major cities and newly organized regions or districts throughout North America. In retrospect, one of the lessons that might have been learned is this: evil cannot be appeased. It can only be defeated. Not by merely human means, of course, but evil can only be, and it must be, defeated. And evil will ultimately be defeated, and this our scripture passage makes clear. In many ways, the events of World War II were the culmination of half a century before, of focused evil. Now, I wasn't born until 1962, so I only know what I've read and what I've heard and what I've seen in the still photographs, in the black and white films, and of course, Schindler's List, and Patton, and Torah, Torah, Torah. But I don't have to tell some of you any of this, because some of you lived those harrowing, hope crushing days. For months, years, and decades, evil itself was personified in a number of ways. Through individuals, through people groups, even through whole nations. We can hardly imagine it now. And yet today, I mean right here in this auditorium this morning, even as I speak, we still have among us those who fought, those who lost loved ones, those who worked to provide here at home what was needed for them to go, and those who waited here for their return, praying for God to intervene. I want you to know that I mean this literally when I say, you saved the world. By your selfless service, by your fidelity to a nation, to a people, and to a way of life, and by your prayers and the immutable hope that good must triumph over evil, you saved the world as we know it. In his excellent book, The End of Memory, Remembering Rightly in a Violent World, Dr. Miroslav Volf writes, "To triumph fully, evil needs two victories, not one. The first victory happens when an evil deed is perpetuated. The second victory, when evil is returned. After the first victory, evil would die if the second victory did not infuse it with new life. So let's never forget And let's do our best to remind each other rightly. But I must also say that a vital part of never forgetting the past, both the threats to our national and personal security and our way of life, as well as those who died to preserve them, is being ever vigilant today. Now, honestly, I do respect the peaceniks and the conscientious objectors among us. I don't understand them, really. But they have convictions, and most seem ready to pay the price of standing on their convictions. Of course, if not for those who fought and prayed and died, we'd all be speaking German now. A vital part of the oft-repeated refrain, never forget, is preparing and being prepared today for new and unpredictable challenges and threats that will come tomorrow. And the ever-increasing expressions of evil as best we can, such as an Iran with nuclear weapons. Though against evil was rendered a devastating blow, evil was not destroyed. And the evil one is not dead yet. So long as evil in principle and the evil one in person are still in their death throes, we have a sacred trust and responsibility, if to no one else, to our children and our children's children, to protect and preserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for them. In his equally excellent book, Past Event and Present Salvation, The Christian Idea of Atonement, Dr. Paul Fittis, still today a professor in Lexley's College at Oxford University, he wrote back in 1989, "We live in a century which has already witnessed the monstrous evil of the Nazi Holocaust and in which the whole of mankind is threatened with a nuclear Holocaust. In the face of such rampant evil in societies and individuals, what victory could have been objectively achieved in the death of Christ? In the subjective or the personal dimension of salvation, we may affirm that the Spirit of God calls us and enables us to confront evil in the here and now. If not you, if not me, then who?" Please join me as we take a moment of silence to remember and be very grateful for those who have gone for us, as well as to pray specifically for those who are standing guard on our behalf, both near and far, today. Amen. Though he was defeated in the ultimate sense at the cross, made even more certain in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Satan persists in his evil ways and his evil work in the world today. But there will come a day when he and his evil are finally and fully defeated. I won't do it. You won't do it, and none of our finest military warriors who ever lived could do it, but the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ alone has done it, and he will do it once and for all as the heavenly warrior. Look with me now to Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 11. "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself, but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what does the presence and pervasiveness of evil say about God? Not to mention the Bible's promise of the increase of evil as the day of the Lord approaches? Not a single thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your whole household, both in this life and in the life to come. Choose to hope and trust in Him, no matter the circumstance, and fully obey Him, no matter the cost, until He comes. Amen. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we do have as an example to us the Lord Jesus, who has and who will defeat Satan and all evil. But that day has not come where evil and Satan are vanquished and removed and the vestiges of their corruption cleansed. Help us to believe your word. Help us to hope in the one who has been victorious over evil. Help us to place our faith alone in the one who will eventually and forever vanquish evil. And in the interim, help us to simply believe. Believe you, believe your word, and obey. In Jesus' name.